one has had the privilege of being asked to speak at different times and different meetings. An open meeting, one takes the portion of the word with fear and trembling, that the remarks that are made are led by the power of the Spirit of God and are not in the energy of the flesh. Trust that our hearts may be encouraged. Shall we turn to Nehemiah, the 8th chapter? Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, and the 8th verse. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. This is what we have had before us in these meetings. We have had the Word of God before us. It has been read distinctly. Our brethren have given us the sense of it and caused us to understand the reading. Now may we turn to Joel 3:14. Joel 3:14. I only have three words in here. The valley of decision. We who have had the privilege of sitting under the word, many are now faced with decision. We are all going away from this conference different. We are going away with more responsibility. It can be no other way. The matter of decision, I would first speak of the matter of salvation. We have heard the gospel clearly given in the evenings. Yes, and in the readings, the gospel has been made clear. And there is a valley of decision. And I am wondering which way, if you're sitting here lost, are you going to make the decision? Perhaps for some, there is a matter of going on with the Lord, the step of baptism. You have learned more of the Lord and His ways. And again, what is your decision? In the valley of decision, the step is yours. Perhaps you are exercised about the matter of taking your place at the Lord's table, the ministry that has been given to us, perhaps has exercised heart and conscience. Again, there is a decision to be made. Now turn, please, to Genesis, the 6th chapter, and the 3rd verse. Genesis 6, verse 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. The ministry that we have had before us has more than once pointed out those with whom the Spirit of God has dwelt, has dealt, and the call to the Spirit of God has not been answered. My spirit will not always strive with men. Some have answered the call of the Spirit. But as the Lord has been speaking to our hearts here today, And through these meetings, may we respectfully point out, my spirit will not always strive with man. It may not be that you and I will ever be exercised again as we are exercised by what has been brought before us in these meetings. Now may we turn to Joshua 24:15, which I am sure is a passage that we are all very familiar with. Again, just a few phrases. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There are many families here, by understanding the teaching of Scripture correctly, the father is the priest of the family. And Joshua here speaks, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now may I ask, is there a young family here in which the father of that family is making a decision today and saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Or are you going back to the old ways, not unbelieving perhaps, but not really serving the Lord? Now, I don't mean by this going out in service. That isn't what I'm speaking of. I'm speaking simply of going on with the Lord so that you can say, we're going to set up the family altar. We're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to have a reading of the Word. We're going to teach our children and bring them on in the way of the Lord. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's an old scripture, isn't it? Not a new truth. I do hope that the ministry that is brought forth here today will cause some young family to make this decision. But there are many who are single. And for you brothers and sisters, I would suggest the same thing. As for me, my house, myself, I will serve the Lord. If time passes on, perhaps you too will be priests in your household. I trust these meetings have warmed our hearts that we say that this is going to be my pathway. Acts 2, verse 37. Now, just these words, they were pricked in their heart. The Word of God has been given. There is no doubt about it. It has affected our hearts. Have we been pricked in our hearts? I think we can all see what the metaphor means. They were pricked in their heart. They were concerned. Now again, may I say, have you been pricked in your heart as to the matter that the Lord has laid upon your heart? Again, whether it is salvation, whether it is baptism, whether it is taking your place at the Lord's table, whatever the exercise of your heart may be, has your heart been pricked? They were pricked in their heart. Brethren, I believe it would be pretty hard, but maybe not impossible, to sit through these meetings and not be pricked in the heart. Verse 41. they gladly received his word. This would raise the question, how have I received the word that has been brought to me here at this conference? Has it gladdened my heart, or do I despise it? Our brother spoke the other night of the Word of God treated as a 10-cent novel. Do you consider, I trust not, none of us consider the ministry given as a continuation of that 10-cent novel, but that we have gladly received the Word. Now this is to the young ones and to the old ones. There's not a one of us left out. We who are older often hear the gospel preached. But if we're in a right state of soul, we are refreshed by it. I believe if you were to ask those who have ministered here, there is no new ministry that has been brought out here. It is those same teachings which we have held by the grace of God for years. But they've been given out in freshness. And may I ask, has it been received with gladness or with a shrug of the shoulder? Acts 9. Verse 5. I am just going to pick some words again. I am Jesus. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Again, may I ask, has your heart been pricked? It's hard to kick against the pricks. And he says, my spirit will not always strive with man. Oh, that we might answer the call of God today in however our hearts have been pricked. It's Jesus. I am Jesus. This ministry that has been given today, in this conference, has been given by men of God, but they would be first to admit it is the ministry of Jesus. It is Jesus that has been presented unto us. May I take the liberty of also saying we have enjoyed the hospitality of the local gathering. May we recall the verse of Scripture that speaks of blessing for a cup of cold water that has been given in my name. The hospitality of Pahom, the labors of the brothers and sisters in this conference are done in the name of Jesus. It's Jesus. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter. They forsook all and followed him. As the ministry of this conference touched our hearts, now this doesn't mean that they went out in the Lord's work. It simply means that they put him first in everything. Perhaps your job, your way of life, is such that you'll never be called into the Lord's work. It isn't what it's talking about. It's the matter of, is he first in everything? They forsook all. That is, putting him first, and they followed him. When we go back to our home assembly, will it be that he is first? That we have forsaken all and followed him. Now, in this country, as yet, we have not been called upon to do this. But our brethren who have traveled speak of those in other countries who have been forced to forsake all their homes, their jobs, everything in order to follow him. We don't have to give up our jobs, our homes, to put him first. I trust that the ministry of this conference has caused us to put him first in our lives. Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Come, take up the cross and follow me. And this is a little more of the same thought, but I particularly would like to bring forth this. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Why has Jesus brought us under the sound of his word? Whether we be lost or whether we be saved, because he loves us. That's why. If you're in your sins, he has brought you under the sound of the word because he loves you and he wants you. But we say, notice in the end, and he was sad, that is, this young man was sad at that saying and went away grieved. We're all going away from this conference, the Lord tarry. We're going away having gladly received the word, or we're going away not willing to follow him, but grieved. But Jesus looked upon him and he loved him. I do not recall that ever again this young man's heart was touched and that he was brought to a knowledge of Christ. I don't think the scripture brings this before us, but Jesus loved him. If you and I, you or I, go into a lost eternity, it'll be with the love of Christ until that time when we are taken, because he loves us and he wants us to receive him. If you and I go on in our old ways, not heeding the ministry that was given unto us here, the love of Jesus still follows us, but his spirit will not always strive with us. We will be the losers. Jesus looked upon him and loved him. John's Gospel, the 12th chapter. If I may borrow from the remarks of our brother this morning, after the breaking of bread. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. As we have talked with each other around here through these conferences, there has been mention of the sweetness of the ministry. And as our brother brought forth to us this morning, the odor of the ointment filling the house. And this is what this conference has been. Now, if we may turn to the Song of Solomon, the 4th chapter. Song of Solomon, the 4th chapter and the 11th verse. The smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Had we been in that room at the time when the Lord was anointed, and the odor of the ointment filled the room, I'm sure that we are all aware that, as we know today, the air pockets and the fibers of our garments would have taken on that odor.
And as we left, the fragrance would be smelled upon our garment. And in the Song of Solomon here, it speaks, is like the smell of Lebanon. Now we all know what it is to go through a pine forest, perhaps, or some other place where the air is fresh, the aroma is tingling, sweet, and we enjoy it. We take the smell with us. As we go back to our various assemblies, to our homes, is the preciousness of Christ, the odor of the ointment that we have received here and have had the pleasure of smelling, caught in the fibers of our garments, so that others may say, he's been where the odor of the ointment has filled the room. I trust this may be true of us, that the fragrance of what we've had in these meetings may go with us, that the Lord may be glorified.